Thank you for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You are listening to episode number 153, recorded in the brand new Stir Crazy Comedy Club in Glendale, Arizona. It's a beautiful facility. It's only been open for a couple of weeks. Their official grand opening, I believe, is next week. But they've had a couple of weekends of soft opening and some great acts coming through there, including one of today's guests, Mr. Brian Kohatsu. He's been on the show in the past, a very nice guy, great comedian. He teaches improv classes as well as doing his own stand-up and sketch and improv routines around the country. He is based out of the Phoenix area and is now working out of Stir Crazy Comedy Club. That is in Glendale, like I said, at the Westgate Entertainment District. If you're not real familiar with the area, it is down on the west side, on the like the 101 loop. It is in the complex, the whole area, that entertainment district that houses the arena where the Coyotes play, and they use it for a lot of music concerts and things, as well as on the opposite end, the stadium where the Arizona Cardinals of the NFL play. So that whole area, several blocks worth, are full of just dozens and dozens of shops and restaurants and clubs and a big, huge movie theater and all kinds of stuff, including the brand new Stir Crazy Comedy Club. Like I mentioned, Brian Kohatsu sat down with me this week, as well as, and the bulk of the interview is with Tom Sims. He is a Phoenix-based comic who has been doing comedy. We talk about his entry into the comedy scene about 10 years or so ago after a many years in the music industry, playing rock and roll clubs, putting out CDs and things throughout the Midwest and well, all around the country. He ended up landing in the Phoenix area, and in the course of his coming here, he has started his lifelong dream of being a stand-up comic. And just recently, like I said, just a few weeks ago, opened the doors to Stir Crazy Comedy Club. So sit back and enjoy my talk with not just Tom, but also Brian. You can find out information, including the calendar and information on Brian's classes that he does there, the improv classes. And they're also, I'm clicking on it right now. There are stand-up classes as well. You can find all of that at StirCrazyComedyClub.com. Again, StirCrazyComedyClub.com. We're sitting down with one of the instructors and faces you will see at the club, Mr. Brian Kohatsu, and club owner Tom Sims. StirCrazyComedyClub.com. You can give them a call at 623-565-8667. They are located in the Westgate Entertainment District on Sunset Boulevard in Glendale. Who do they got coming up? When I was there last night, and as I'm recording this tonight also, but by the time you hear it, he's gone. Greg Romero Wilson, very funny. Now, next week, Willie Barcena. He is a nationally touring comedian. He's got a couple of specials on Netflix, I believe. He is very well known in the comedy world. And he will be on stage October 5, 6, and 7. Who else we got coming up? Mark Cordes, October 19th. Quinn Dahl, October 12th. They run basically Thursday through Saturday. Some nights they run a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But just check the calendar, StirCrazyComedyClub.com. This is a big one, Dennis Regan. Very, very funny. November 10, 11, and 12. Now, the big plus, and you'll hear Tom explaining how he designed the club and what his goals are with the club. But the very first thing that struck me is when you walk in, the honor and the respect Tom and his staff has paid to the history of comedy. Now, most comedy clubs will have pictures of performers and things of that nature. The comics that have performed there are some that are coming. Tom has kind of put a sort of a museum up. It's the stills that are there are the comedy greats from decades. So it's a real tell to the appreciation Tom has for the comedic world. Everybody from George Burns, Bob Hope, Cheech and all the way up to Cheech and Chong, the greats throughout the decades, Carlin, Robin Williams, up to the big Sam Kinison, and including all the biggies that are touring the world today. So it's just a great play. You walk in and you see that, and it really shows his appreciation, Tom's appreciation and respect for the art form and for the craft of stand-up comedy. And like I said, they got some great names coming up. Dennis Regan, I'm going to try and get down there for that. The second thing that really strikes you walking in is the intimacy of the club. The stage is center. It's up on the wall, centered, and the rows of chairs in front, it's very close, very intimate. You're right there. I want to say it seats about 120, maybe. I don't know. It was fairly close to a full house last night when I was there taking some photos for their social media and their website and stuff. So look forward to those. I'll put a link when they're up through our sister company, MSP, msantosphotographer.com. I was out there doing some pictures, and we recorded this episode. So if you get a chance, head down to Stir Crazy Comedy Club in Glendale. Again, very intimate, very tight club. It was a lot of fun. You can feel the laughter when you're in there. But at the same time, with it being that small and intimate of a room, it's spacious. You got the way they have the seating set up. You'll hear Tom talk about this. The way they have the seating and the service set up, it's very relaxed. It's very comfortable. It is a great spot to see some very, very funny people. So sit back, enjoy my conversation with Tom Sims and Brian Kohatsu at StirCrazyComedyClub.com. This week's episode is brought to you by our Amazon link. Please use that. Use that Amazon link at MileHighShow.com to do all your online shopping. You click on it at MileHighShow.com, and it takes you directly to your Amazon or Amazon Prime login. Doesn't cost you an extra dime, but it does let Amazon know you got there through us, and they give us a little thank you. So please use that. It's the way we can support our show and pay for things like traveling down to Phoenix to interview folks and to travel around town here in the Prescott area and interview folks. It's a way you could support the show and in turn support the artists and entertainers that we talk with. So please do that. Right next to it is an Audible link for audible.com, and if you click on that, you can choose a free audio download from over 180,000 titles, including, how about this, Born Standing Up, the memoirs of Steve Martin, one of the greatest stand-ups and one of the greatest authors around. You could get that for free by using the code MILEHIGH at checkout. So go to milehighshow.com, click on the Audible link, and pick a free, absolutely free audio download by using the code MILEHIGH at checkout. What else? Oh, Podbean patron account. Click on that right there on our main page. You can pledge anywhere from, I think, a buck on up, and you can, by pledging and participating in that, by giving us as little as a buck a month or $5 a month, something small, something that goes a long way to help us out in producing this show, you can get free gifts such as CDs, stickers, our show coffee mugs, different things like that. Click that Podbean patron account button right there at the bottom of milehighshow.com and use that Amazon link. That really, really helps. And it helps you support the show. It helps us go down and talk with folks like Brian Kohatsu and Tom Sims from Stir Crazy Comedy Club in Glendale. Enjoy the show. Beautiful club.
Thank you.
It's really nice. This is what, weekend three for you?
Yeah. Yep. That's right.
Give me a little bit of your history. Now, in my travels through Phoenix, sitting down with comics over the last couple of years, your name's been familiar. It's been mentioned. We haven't met until just a few minutes ago.
Right.
But I was at a show last night after the music thing, and there's a few comics, some of the open micers, and some of the guys that feature around here. And I mentioned what I was doing. They go, "Oh yeah, Don, you're gonna have a good time. I want to get over to the club.
Cool.
So you are known in the comedy community. Tell me a little bit. Give me your Reader's Digest.
Good or bad?
Yeah, exactly.
Your Reader's Digest history. Your bio.
My bio. Well, I come from a music background. I was a musician for 20 plus years. And comedy was something I wanted to do ever since I was a little kid. But I grew up in the Midwest, and there was just no outlet for something like that. So I got into, music, and that's the path I took. And then we moved to Phoenix, 10 plus years ago. And I was kind of done with music, I didn't know anybody down here anyway. Yeah. So we just moved down here, and there was a comedy scene, you know, there were open mics and workshops and, comedians around. And it was just like, wow, this is, coming from the Midwest, there was nothing like that. So I just kind of started hanging out and becoming friends. And, next thing I'm doing a mic, and that was kind of how it all got started. So that was, 8, 9, 10 years ago or something. And, over the course of that time, I started producing my own shows, and I used to produce shows as a musician too. So I kind of was familiar with what goes into that, the production and hiring the venue and all of that, promotion, et cetera. And it's just, I enjoy that aspect of it as well. I like the production. I like picking the right comedians to fit together. I like picking the music. I like setting the lights. I love all of that. So, I've just, it was just kind of a natural progression of, would it be cool if I had my own club? And, and a few years ago it started out with just a crazy idea and a spreadsheet. And now here it is, it's still sort of surreal that it's even happening, but that was kind of the path.
Nice. Tell me a little bit about your music career. What, growing up, were you playing as a little kid?
Back before the internet and apps, you had to get girls, you had to be good looking or play a guitar. So I started playing bass back when I was a teenager. And, this was back in the 80s when I started. So hair bands were the thing. And I was, had long dyed blonde hair and the whole bit.
We'll get you those pictures, Matt.
Yeah.
And then I just sort of, I became a professional musician. I did a little touring. Some of my bands, we had CDs out and stuff like that. I was a Never Was Been, so don't even bother asking. You never heard of any of my bands.
But it's nice that you're still wearing your parachute pants now.
Yes, they still fit. They still
coming
fit.
Coming back, I think.
So that's what I pretty much did for a living through, the 90s, my 20s, and then into my 30s as well. And then, then I got married and had a kid. And it was like, well, I better grow up and get a real job. So I did that, and I just kind of quit playing full time and played, kind of part time on the side and stuff. And then, like I said, then we moved here. And
what brought you to Phoenix?
The weather.
Yeah,
man, I grew up in the Midwest where it snows and there's tornadoes and there's humidity. I was like, we're done with all this. Yeah. Get in the car. We're going. So we moved down here specifically for the weather. But we came down to Phoenix to see a concert back in 2003. And it was in November, and we were like having dinner outside, and we're like, "Why do we not live here?" That was literally how it started.
Said Tom in shorts and white legs.
Yeah.
What was your first August like?
Man, I'll tell you what, dude. I love the heat here.
Yeah,
I do. My wife's not a big fan of it, but if it's 105, 110, I'm totally cool.
Yeah, I don't mind the high heat, especially if I can go to work and shorts and usually flip flops and that. But I came from the San Francisco Bay Area where 80 was a heat wave and 50 was a cold snap. It was all pretty mellow. And when I moved out here, we got up north. We got I got here in like September of 2004, And a couple months later, we get snow, and I'm like, I don't know how to drive in the snow, man. Yeah. What am I doing? Yeah. I don't know what to do. My wife's like, pull over, I'll drive. So she didn't know how to drive in the snow either, but she was braver than me. But yeah, I enjoy it. Up where I'm at, we got a lot milder summers, and then our winters are like we'll get a dusting of snow, and it's gone by noon.
Yeah,
but it's nice.
I I might be able to tolerate that, but I. Yeah. People say, "Oh, we got to have." I don't want to see snow's pretty in pictures. I don't want to. I don't want to be in the midst of it.
I like it from my couch in front of the fireplace.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of touring as a musician. Were you on the road a lot?
I did my share. I started. I started touring with bands. Probably I was probably 18, 19.
All rock.
Yeah. Back early on, it was rock, and then as I got older, I played in. I played in some blues bands. I played in some dance funk type of bands. I even played on a few country albums and
nice.
And I played all sorts of stuff.
Still playing?
No.
No. You're not going to work in what's that? What's his name? Henry. Who's the comic? Got all the songs. Punchin' Henry. Punchin' the Clown. What's his name?
I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know. He's a comic. He does national touring.
No, my music and comedy don't...
they don't mix,
They don't mix, other than, cutting the music for the bumpers and stuff like that.
Yeah. So on the comedy end, you just that desire to still be on stage and performing, or was it just getting those weird thoughts out of your head and spreading them out?
No, I mean... Brian's laughing.
I'm laughing because he's a perfectionist. He writes good material, but he's like, I just need something more. Work it.
I don't know. I always found writing stand-up a little more frustrating than writing. I used to write music, and that was a lot more. That process was a lot more enjoyable. I don't find the process of writing comedy fun. It's just brutal, and it takes a long time. And you can sit and mess with a song in your bedroom till the wee hours of the night, and you see it coming together and it's working and it sounds good. Whereas, with stand up, you don't know what's funny until you get in on the stage in front of strangers, and they'll let you know if something's funny.
Yeah.
And I found that if something comes to you and you think, oh man, this is gonna kill, and then you get up and it's nothing, and you're like, what happened? Why are you laughing? It's so frustrating.
We're kind of tired of Tom calling us all in the wee hours of the morning.
Why isn't this working?
What do you think of this?
Yeah. They'll run this by you. So you said you, as a kid, comedy was something that you aspired to. Like, how old? What?
I remember.
And why?
I remember when I was 9 and 10, maybe 11. I used to watch, in the early days of like cable TV, they played like Richard Pryor live, that one in the red shirt, right. And I watched that just over and over, and I would record it into my little tape recorder and listen to it on the way to school on the school bus. I loved Richard Pryor.
Better have headphones for that, I guess. Yeah.
And Eddie Murphy, and then in the early days of Showtime, Gallagher specials were he had like 16 specials back in the day, right. So it was all Gallagher, and I just loved stand up comedy. I remember telling my 8th grade guidance counselor on like career day, what is it what you want to do for? I'm like, I want to be a comedian. And she just looked at me like, all right, you're gonna,
she immediately
done with me. Yeah, come get this kid out of here.
Yeah. And
my mom took me to see Gallagher when I was like 12 years old, and it was like the biggest event in my life. I just always loved stand-up comedians. I would stay up late to watch them on The Tonight Show and Letterman, and I just always loved stand-up. I still do, man. It's amazing to me what a stand-up does. When you stop and think that you're getting up in front of a room full of strangers, and not only are you just, compelling them to listen to what you're saying, you're changing their energy.
Yeah.
You're making a bunch of strangers laugh. I mean, when you stop and think about it, it's a little metaphysical, I suppose, but that's pretty amazing, And I love the history of stand-up, all the books, and I love reading about it and knowing all of the scenes, the Boston and New York and the Comedy Store. I love all of that stuff. Yeah, as you can see from the club, we got all these pictures up of the greats,
The greats.
I love it, man. I just stand up is one of my favorite performance arts. Yeah. It's just amazing to me.
And look at him now. He's part of the history now.
Yeah.
I'm part
of the history. Mm-hmm. And now that I own a club, give me a couple of years and I'll probably hate all comedians and comedy. And this place will be a strip bar or something.
We can put a pole right there.
There you go.
Top, I think.
Keep the lights.
And then Brian will still have a job.
Either way, Brian's here.
I still get booked, is what the question is. I'll get in shape, I swear. If I know now, I can start working toward it.
So. And I'll be sitting in this dark booth with a stack of dollar bills in front of me.
Exactly.
Since you've been performing as a stand-up, mm-hmm. Much traveling? Do you stick to the Valley or?
No, I pretty much. I would go, you know, other places just to go other places.
Yeah.
You know, Vegas or LA. I've been to Texas and a few places, but. You know, I got a day job and a family,
yeah.
And the older I get, the less I want to travel for any reason.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so many great clubs around the Valley that, you can get enough work in the Valley. And,
yeah.
You know, now, especially now in the last few years, there's so many non-club shows that are going on. So, I mean, if you're a comic in Phoenix, you can get stage time anytime you want. So, if I do feel that Jones to get up again, there's plenty of places.
Just not here. We've all talked.
Yeah.
been banned.
My plan is to never go up here.
Banned from your own club.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned like watching as a kid Tonight Show, Letterman and stuff. And that's, I remember watching, I'm guessing I got a few years on you. Was Tonight Show for you Leno or did you?
Oh, Carson for sure.
Carson, okay.
I mean, I'm talking when I was, 12, 13. I used to love, watching Johnny.
Yeah, we used to watch. My dad worked nights, so he did a swing shift, so he'd get off, 10:30 or so. Come home, watch the news, and then on a summer break or something like that, we'd get to stay up and watch with him.
Yeah.
And it was always Carson after.
Yeah.
And I love the stand-ups. I've been a comedy fan my whole life. I mean, some of the first albums I ever bought were, going to the Goodwill store and grabbing like old Jonathan Winters and we used to watch Sanford and Son all the time as kids. So I stumbled across a Red Fox stand-up album at the thrift store.
A lot different than Sanford and Son.
Well, no, see, I was like eight or nine. And my mom's son, she goes, it was like 50 cents or a quarter. She goes, oh, yeah, you can get that. That's the guy from that show we watched. So I take it home and start playing it. And yes, completely different than you big dummy.
Yeah.
And so I listened to that with the headphones on the hi-fi, so mom wouldn't break it. I love the stand-ups. I love comedy, but what I enjoyed, especially sitting on the couch late at night with my dad,
mm-hmm.
was when they would panel. You'd mm-hmm. see Rickles or Buddy Hackett or when they would take the couch and talk, and obviously especially back then, they were running a lot of bits and stuff, but it was more conversational.
Right.
And I like that aspect more so than I did the stand-up. As much as I liked them doing their time, their 3 or 4 minutes, whatever,
right.
Watching them interact and talk was always, that was the highlight for me.
Yeah.
And then podcasting comes around. It's like, hey, this is the best of what I liked. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, as you said, Johnny was. That's one of the things that Johnny Carson was known for, is just how excellent he was at setting those guys up to do their thing. Sitting there and being generous enough to know that, no, I'm going to set you up so you look good.
Yeah.
That's what those were so great.
Yeah.
It's funny, I don't know if you know this. So one of the TV stations right now is playing the old Carsons.
Oh, nice.
And I don't even know what station it's on. My TiVo picks it up for me every day.
Yeah.
And if there's an old stand up, I'll watch it.
Cool.
But yeah, and they're the hour and a half.
Yeah, 90 minutes.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's like the WB or one of those type of stations.
It's MeTV or one.
Yeah, there's a couple of those like nostalgia channels that I don't get.
Yeah, I don't even know where it's from, but TiVo's been picking it up. My wife and I have been watching those old Carsons.
Nice.
And they have, Pryor and Seinfeld and Gary Shandling and all the greats, man. Those are just, I love that stuff.
So you mentioned, Pryor, Eddie Murphy, mm-hmm. Gallagher as really catching your eye as a kid. It's been a while since we talked, Brian. Yeah. Who motivated you to do this?
I think it boils down to Steve Martin, for sure. Robin Williams was a huge influence. Fifth grade was a big Robin Williams year. Cheech and Chong, because my brother had all the Cheech and Chong albums at a young age. It was primarily my three, I think.
Yeah.
You know, just the physicality and just the silliness about it. So, I can listen to those guys every day and quote all the albums, too.
Yeah. So you open up Stir Crazy. We're into week three right now.
Yeah.
Great write up on the Republic. I really like that. A lot of good info.
That was very cool
of
them. Yeah.
I'll put a link to that in the show notes because I enjoyed reading that. Touch on why. I mean, it seemed it goes back to like the music days. I interview a lot of musicians up in Prescott. We got a really lively music scene up there. And I don't want to say complaints, but, you know, when people play, you know, they're gigging at the different clubs, some bigger, some smaller, some little bar shows, some little theater shows.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the musicians are, if I was doing this, I would do this to the sound, I'd do this to the lighting, I'd put the stage here, mm-hmm. I'd do this.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got their idea. And my question to them is always, well, you know what? You guys should get together. You run a club.
Yeah.
Rent out a space and do it. No, I would never do that.
Yeah.
And I've heard some of the same things from comedians that I've talked to.
Yeah.
What on earth motivated you to sign the lease on this place and open it up?
Well, when you're looking forward at something, it seems like a better idea. Had I known the amount of work, I honestly, I don't understand how anybody can pull off opening.
You said it's about 3 years in the making?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's just been brutal. And I got partners with tons of experience. If it wasn't for them, I would have given up a long time ago in this whole process. But as far as the comedy club thing, you know, I mean, I think if you ask any experienced comedian, you know, even if it's only a few years in, they can tell you a few things. Well, for a good room, it should do this, and you should do this, and you should do that. So there's a lot of things that, you know, it's not a secret.
Yeah.
It's just most clubs aren't owned by comedians who know those type of things, and it doesn't affect the bottom line so obviously, you know, that they're gonna do make changes or whatever. So what I wanted to do here, and I'm pretty OCD about details sometimes, and I go a little overboard, but I was obsessed with making this, you know, quote unquote, the perfect room for comedy. You know, with I love the energy of a small room. You know, if you've heard of the Comedy Store in LA, that seats 100 people. The original room, it's the big world famous Comedy Store, but it seats 100. It's a tiny little room.
I was back there in February for got run of the show, run of the whole place. It was great, man. Had a blast.
So I mean, I love the energy of a small room. So when we all started getting together talking about this, I said I don't want a big club. You know, there's three great clubs in here already. Yeah. And they're big. I want to do a small room. We're going to drop the ceiling. We're going to make it all two tops so people aren't stuffed with strangers. We're going to face all the chairs so they face the stage. You know, all these little things that, you know, and as a comedian, we think, that, oh, this will make a great room. And that's what we tried to do. And I think I can't think of anything offhand that we had to sort of, you know, skip or whatever, for lack of a better word. I think it's pretty much exactly like my Photoshop mock-ups were, you know?
I'll say everything that I heard from Tom in the past. It is everything. Like, looking at it, it looks exactly like you said it was going to look.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like, walking in at one point, I was like, yeah. And then I realized, well, wait a minute, he described this beforehand, and it really, he hit the mark exactly how he dreamed it.
Yeah.
There you go. There's the word.
Dream.
Now,
this is the dream.
You'd mentioned there's infinite number of spots where comics can get mic time.
Mm-hmm.
They can go up at a lot of different places. Just last night, after that music show, I had reached out to some of the guys that I know, say, hey, I'm going to be in town. Where are you Thursday night? And like six guys sent me six different spots.
there was
a ton of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And everything from, you know, restaurant and bar shows to, you know, music venues that were doing a comedy night, and then you know, the other clubs, house comedy, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They had a showcase last night.
Right.
There are plenty of spots.
Right.
What are you bringing to the table? What's going to set you aside apart from the like you described the dynamics of the room and that as far as from, who you're from, booking and
from
things
bar
like that.
Shows or the other clubs?
No, just from everything. What's going to have you stand out?
Well, I mean, a club is different from the bar shows in that people are here specifically for comedy. The room and the staff are set up specifically to serve.
Yeah.
You know, in a comedy club. I mean, the problem with non-club shows, and to varying degrees, some are just train wrecks.
Yeah.
You have, you know, the worst open micers telling horrible jokes. And that's, you know, on the one hand, it's a good thing that there's more venues for comedians to work out their stuff. That's a good thing. But it's also, you know, if people come to, oh, there's a comedy show at such and such, and they've never been to a comedy club or seen a comedian, and they come in and see this open mic, you know, and they think, oh, this is what stand-up comedy is?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's not for us. And
this
people
isn't
have
what
talked
I saw
to
on TV.
Exactly. And people have said that to me millions of times, you know, oh, we saw a comedy. I don't think it's for us. It's like, no, a club is different, you know.
Yeah.
We have, you know, I bring in local guys and gals, of course. But, you know, we have the headliners are all TV credited professional touring comedians who know their business. You know what I mean? So you don't get a lot of that at the non-clubs. What's different here about, you know, Stand Up Live, Tempe Improv and House of Comedy is those are all great rooms for sure. But they're big rooms, you know, and obviously I can't afford a Christopher Titus that's going to go to Stand Up Live. But it has that, like I said, it's that small room energy that we wanted, you know, and not to mention it's, you know, 30 miles to the west of all those places.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we were talking about that off mic before we set up, you know, it's, where I'm from, the San Francisco Bay Area. I was in the East Bay, like between Oakland and San Jose, but like, you know, there was a lot of clubs and even bar shows and stuff in San Francisco back when I was first immersed in comedy, like the 80s boom. Mm-hmm. I was doing a lot of work, headshots and stuff for guys. And San Francisco had so much going on, but it's in such a tight geographical area.
Right.
You got people here in the valley who may never get over to the east side or downtown from the west side for months.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's the way the clubs are kind of located, there's so much opportunity for people to go and see a completely different venue, completely different talent,
right?
And that's what I'm hoping. Thrive.
Yeah, I, that's what I'm kind of hoping. And I was actually just talking to Casey from Stand Up Live about this the other day. Is, you know, because people are over here, and you know, a lot of us, especially at our age, we don't want to venture out.
Yeah.
And make, you know, so I meet a lot of people who've never been to a stand-up comedy show. And what I'm hoping is maybe since we're closer to a lot of people, since there's, you know, 2.5 million people on this side of town, maybe they come here and they enjoy it. And they, oh, you know what? Let's go see that guy that we know from TV at the Improv or whatever. And they just becomes more of part of people's entertainment plans.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm hoping. I want all the clubs to do well. I think people should get out and see live comedy more often.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you talk about sports. Watching a sporting event on TV is not nearly as exciting as being at the sporting event.
Right.
And comedy is the same way.
Yes.
I mean, have you ever watched a comedy special by yourself? I mean, how often do you laugh out loud?
Yeah,
well, you know what I mean? It's like
we don't live the life you live,
Tom. I do a lot of stuff by myself.
Well, you, but
my
you
wife
know,
hates
you know
me.
What I mean, though? You're not going to sit there and laugh out loud if you're by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's the difference between watching a movie at home versus actually going to a movie theater and you're with a room full of strangers experiencing something together.
And feeling that energy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
It is
a whole experience.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
The minute you come in. But you know what? It is, you know, traffic in the valley has grown with the population. And that's like the other night. I know it was a Tuesday night just trying to get from the east side back to the west side. You know, there's one accident. It's going to take you a lot longer. Whereas if you're already on this side and you want to go out, I mean, that trek to the East Valley on a Friday, it's not going to happen. You know, you're trying to plan everything ahead of time early to get out there. And sometimes that doesn't happen. So hopefully everyone will be like, ooh. It's 10 minutes from my house, you know.
Yeah, and then like on promotion back in the day, like, you know, in your when you were starting your music stuff, I'm sure there were, at least like where I was from, there were the kind of like the Metro here. They were the regional arts and entertainment newspapers. Mm-hmm. Everybody had an ad in the back. The clubs all did. While that's still in, like I said, the Metro out here is still pretty thriving. For the most part, everybody's looking at social media for, mm-hmm. for a promotion. Where do folks find you? I know I first saw a post from Brian on Facebook, so Stir Crazy Comedy Club on Facebook. Where's your Twitter, Instagram, website, all that good stuff?
My wife actually does all my social media stuff. She's just been killing it. You know, I can't thank her enough. But right now, I mean,
but you should try.
Yeah, no. I can't admit that. no, she's been killing it. I'd say that's probably where we're getting a lot of it. Yeah. Westgate has been fantastic about advertising and all these signs and billboards. That's all Westgate. They're way behind us in this venture. So they've been great. We just started kind of doing more marketing this week with radio and Pandora, and you may have seen billboards up on the 101 and the 10 and stuff like that. So right now we're just kind of throwing it all out there and seeing what seems to work, you know.
But Matt, was your question like Stir Crazy Comedy?
Yeah. What's the address? Yeah.
Okay. All right. And there is Instagram.
The Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, and Twitter.
I followed them.
Facebook.
I don't know what they are though.
The Facebook page.
But everything's at the website. Links to there, if I'm not mistaken, right on there. And it's StirCrazyComedyClub.com.
Yep.
What are this is going to go up. It's either going to go up tonight or tomorrow, depending on what time I get back up the hill. But say for next week, what do you got coming up? What are some of the shows? And I want to talk about the workshops too.
Next week is a great. I'm actually on that show. That's I can speak to that.
next week is kind of the official big grand opening announcement weekend. You know, we started all this so many months ago. You know, that we had to plan for the grand opening. And you know how things are. Sometimes you don't get things open in time. So they're like, okay, we need to start planning for this grand opening. So give us a weekend that, you know, for sure you're going to be open.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think we had to cancel the first two weekends just because of, you know,
logistics.
Construction took too long and all of that kind of stuff. So next weekend is Willie Barsena, and he's bringing out a feature from Los Angeles whose name escapes me. He just emailed me yesterday, so it's not in my brain yet. But Brian's
sure
on
too.
I watched his video. He's great. I just remember.
I will be hosting.
Yeah. So next weekend is the big grand opening weekend. First 100 people, I think, get a t-shirt is the plan.
Oh, nice.
They're just shirts from his closet.
Yeah, they're one of my shirts.
They're not club shirts.
Right.
Some of your old band stuff.
There you go. I'd love to get Riff to unload some of that.
He's got a whole warehouse full. Yeah,
anybody want a CD from my band in the 90s? I've got boxes of them.
Mixtape.
Makes a great coaster. Yeah.
And what else you got coming up? You got
the following weekend is Quindale. Yeah.
Quindale?
I'm going to tell him you said Dahl. Okay.
Edit that, so fix mad. It.
I'll edit that.
Quindale. and we got Brian Kohatsu teaching improv.
Yes.
Teaching improv, right?
Talk a little bit about that. What's the schedule for that? How do people get involved? How do they participate?
Well, you know, they can visit StirCrazyComedyClub.com and find out all the good information there. Right now I started a class last week. Actually, this week. But if it airs next week, it's 2 weeks. Basically, it's a introductory improv class. Uh-huh. My focus is always, you know, people want to get out of their comfort zone. They want to try something different. So it's a great class to kind of get out of that comfort zone. And hopefully, if they don't go on to become a comic or an improv actor with a troupe or something, at least they leave with some life skills that they'll hopefully apply to their relationships and their jobs. And
talk a little bit about that. What benefit can somebody who has no desire to perform, the end goal is not to join a troupe or get on stage behind a mic.
Yeah.
What can they gain from this?
To me, improv basically boils down to the yes aspect is just really hearing. So it's listening to the people you're with.
Yeah.
I'm acknowledging their existence and that you're hearing what they're saying and then trying to respond to that. Everybody's I mean, I'm married, man. I don't listen. So, I mean, I should take my own advice. But it's true. Most people don't listen, or there's miscommunication between people. People are very quick to say no all the time. So we're trying to change that a little bit to kind of hear what the person's saying, you know, kind of really think about what they're saying, acknowledge it, and then, you know, answer in a correct way that kind of moves the relationship forward. Just stop putting up walls around people and things. But I've had people take the class and tell me I got promoted at work because people noticed I was a little bit different. I've been speaking up for myself. It's kind of a question of pull that trigger and do the things you want to do. Don't be so afraid, because there's a lot more support in your life than you realize, that if you're like, I don't want to do that, but I'm going to go try that. And then they'll find like, oh, that wasn't so scary. And just take more risks in your life. But
what kind of requirements do you have for the class? Is
zero.
No age restriction.
Bring what? Water and some comfortable shoes. We live in a desert, Tom. I don't have people dehydrating on stage. Right now it's an adult class, 18 and over. If it's a kid around 16, 17, the parents are cool with it and they can handle it.
And ideally maybe participating as well?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
We will schedule down the road here. I want to do some teen classes too.
What can it get? And you've done that in the past?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Teen classes. What do you see the effect on kids? I'm thinking like in the confidence level and assertiveness in school and things like that. Where do they benefit?
Well, you can take a kid who's really, you know, has a problem focusing, and you can help him a little bit focus in, because again it comes to the listening aspect to it. So if you can kind of get them on, you open up their brain a little bit to that make believe. That's like the adult class is the toughest thing.
Yeah,
it's like we're gonna be silly and stupid here for a while, but just I know you work out 9 to 5, but put that away for a second and be a kid for a second. Get out of your comfort zone. The kids are already there. It's kind of the opposite. They just need a little bit more structure.
Yeah.
And then they kind of open up. But I found like with the kids, a lot of times it opens up their creativity for creative writing and those types of things. I mean, I was asked to go to a career day one day and do an improv little workshop for an hour. And I thought, kids, don't go into comedy. Your parents will kill me. So I said, what I'm telling you is just all life skills you can use.
The only thing worse would be like going to be a musician.
Be a musician. And then go, I'm going to open a comedy
club. You're batting 1,000. Oh,
so, but basically that's the idea, is that for a kid, these are some tools you can use, and it kind of gives them, get that creative energy focused a little bit more for them.
Nice.
And then I'll tell you, some of these kids, some of the shows just crack me up because they will say things you least expect them. And sometimes you realize it's coming from something they saw at home, you know, or life experience. You know, exactly. Then mom and dad run out quickly, but yeah.
Nice.
So a little something for everybody.
Information, StirCrazyComedyClub.com.
StirCrazyComedyClub.com.
And yeah, what's your website?
BrianKohatsu.com, if you can spell that. Yeah.
There'll be a link.
It's Brian with an I. And
just click on the name in the show notes.
I think there might be. Yeah, well, they can reach me via the Stir Crazy
website.
Also
find out where you're performing, and you got some YouTube clips and stuff on there as well.
But more importantly, I will be here next weekend.
And what's
I'll be back in November, too.
And what's the as far as the classes you're doing, is it a one-day class? Are you extending it out?
Basically, it's 8 weeks, and that includes a student showcase that we'll be doing here. So they get to... You know, they get to learn some new skill, and then we put them to the test.
Very nice.
They can bring their family and friends out and have a
time. And what's the cost involved?
Cost involved for the class right now, it's $275. That's for the entire 8 weeks English showcase. It's 2 hours. It's 2 hour class, but to be honest, I can't get people to go home.
Yeah.
So we end up going 2.5. Half the time. I don't put that out there because I, you know, I got a family. I want to get home. But I don't mind. I'll stay. If they're starting to understand it more and they're having a good time, I'll stay until they're exhausted at that point.
But just learning and exercising how to express yourself and how to communicate and to do so in front of people that you don't know is huge in any aspect, whether it be in school or at work. Mm-hmm, so many skills you can get from that.
And a lot of that too is just trusting, you know, if it's two of you on stage, it's all about making your scene partner look good. And it's really not a concentration. It's kind of the opposite of stand-up because you are out there by yourself.
Yeah.
Whereas improv, you're all about making your partner look good. So it is a lot of team building too that happens. Hopefully they, you know, take that to school and work with
them. One thing I don't think a lot of people realize about improv is that it's actually a contact sport.
Okay.
You had a little incident
Well, I think my body's been worn down over the years.
Was it your
I tore my Achilles last summer. But that was me thinking I was 20 again to play basketball.
Now, was that on stage?
No.
Oh,
I was literally
was
on a basketball.
Okay. I didn't know if it was in one of your...
No, I got past the ball, did a head fake, and I turned and I pushed off and it snapped.
Who were you playing with?
My son.
You're saying how old
my
is
son
he?
And my son's team. Yeah. I'd like to tell you it was a bunch of former NBA players, but no, they were a bunch of 12-year-olds. So I immediately fell to the ground, and my wife's looking at me like, what are you doing? And I'm like, somebody threw a rock at my foot. And I looked back, and no one's standing behind me.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're insane. I stood up, and I fell down, and there was nothing. I mean, the tendon was completely
You were gone. Out for a while, huh?
Yeah, it was my right leg, so I was home for three... I was home for an entire month, 3 months of physical therapy. And then my first show back was in like October. I remember
the
first joke I did where I had to lift my leg up because I'm a little physical.
A little bit.
I thought I was going to fall to the ground when I put my foot down because I raised my right leg knowing I can get it up. But when I went down, I almost fell. But I was like, all right. But I did a quick 10-minute set. And the next 2 nights later, I had to do a full 45-minute set, and I made it through it somehow.
Man.
I shook the rust off really quickly in that 10-minute set, apparently. But it was, it's been a little road of recovery. Still not there. Still not 100%.
Good to see you on, too.
Yep. It's good to walk again.
Give us a little rundown of what people can expect at the club, menu-wise, drink-wise, things like
Food's
that.
Great.
I put a lot of thought mm-hmm. into the menu items. And like I said, my partners, they own Scramble and Half Moon, so they know the food world, you know.
Gotcha.
And they were like, okay, well, let's put together, you know, what the menu's going to look like. So keeping in mind that it's for a comedy club, you know, and we want to keep the interruptions to a minimum, that includes, you know, the food. So we didn't want items that required a lot of condiments or a lot of silverware. You know, we wanted a lot of options. So it's a limited menu. I think we've only got like maybe 12 different items mm-hmm. or whatever. But we also wanted it, you know, we want people to come and enjoy a dinner, and it's going to, you know, it's we want a good quality food. So they put together some great, great ideas. Like we have like personal pizzas. We have beef and chicken skewers, you know, a burger.
Stuff you can eat with your hands.
Yeah. I'll tell you though, it's everything is like really flavored.
Yeah.
Like there's so much flavor in the food when you eat it. It's just, I can't, I talk about it. I talk about it too much.
But then we also have some really really cool gourmet popcorn. So we actually our cooks make it here when you order it. Like, you know, caramel bacon popcorn.
I was
going to
say, if you're
like
listening,
that.
Write that down.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's
caramel
like
bacon popcorn. Yeah. It's everything and more.
That's like
you'll be ruined for all other popcorn afterwards. I swear to you.
Yeah, that stuff is. That's good. So yeah, man, that was just the thought process. You know, we just everything is sort of designed not to interrupt you from the show, you know?
Yeah. Now, how uncommon is it for comedians to run clubs and open it? Rick
Bronson.
Yeah,
he's
comedy.
A comedian, yeah.
Now, I've knowing comics who travel through there and through his, he's got where?
He's got one in Edmonton.
Minneapolis.
And there might be, is there another one?
There was talk of Newark. I don't know if that happened.
People, the comics that I've talked to that perform at his clubs mm-hmm. or at those clubs always credit that too. He knows what mm-hmm. comics go through. He knows mm-hmm. how to treat comics.
Yeah, yeah.
How? I mean, obviously that you're in that same situation. Uh-huh. What are some of the things that we talked about it as far as interruption and things like that? How... Adding to that, how do you make sure your talent, when they come in, somebody comes in from out of town, they're coming from L.A., they're mm-hmm. coming from wherever, how do you make sure that they walk away saying that this is a club they want to come back to?
Well, I think, you know, all the things that we mentioned are just sort of, you know, those aren't uncommon to have a small room with a low ceiling and all of that stuff and, you know, maybe the chairs are a little different. We don't do cafeteria seating and stuff like that. So, but I think for a headliner to want to really come back, it's about, you know, you police the room, You don't let people yell out and disrupt the show and let them get away with it. You gotta, you know, you gotta kind of throw down the law with people so they don't interrupt the show for other people and mess up the rhythm of the show and all of that stuff. But I think just, you know, I've performed at clubs where the owner's attitude is, you know, they wish they didn't have to have the comedian.
Yeah.
You know, and they just, you know, and I just, I don't know. This, to me, I'm still a little idealistic. This is show business. These guys are the talent. Let's treat them, you know, even the host, you know. I mean, everybody should be, like, you know, I'll tell you
hosts.
What. Stand Up Live and Tempe Improv, even if you're the host, they treat you, you feel like, wow, they really appreciate that I'm here, you know. And that's the way I want to treat them. And, you know, I'm trying to make it a cool green room for them. Yeah. And like, one thing that I did, and I don't think I've ever seen it anywhere. So, you know, when the comedian gets the light, you know, your time is about wrapping it up. So obviously he sees it, but the other comedians, they never know that you gave them the light unless they see that.
Yeah.
So I wired it up so the green room actually gets the light too.
Nice.
So everybody knows. And if you're the host,
they can prepare.
Yeah. You're like, oh, okay. He's got the light. I've never, there may be clubs that do that, but I've never performed at one.
It's a 1940s light in the back. It's like, from the summer. So everyone
will know. Just things like that to help the show go along, you know?
Yeah.
Just to help the show.
21 and over club? 18 and over? What's the...
Well, right now, I think it's 21 and over, but, you know, it's sort of on a situational basis, I guess. Depending on the comedians. Like, there's probably a high percentage of our comics that are sort of on the clean side, you know. So if someone wants to bring their kids, you know, we'll sort of deal with it on a case by case basis.
Separate seating, spotlight on top of them.
Yes, they sit on the stage. So that's the plan.
Hey, yeah. Well, I think we're good. Anything else you want to hit?
No, I think that's
covered
it.
Yeah.
You know, plug your video business?
No.
I'm going to put that clip in there, though. I thought that was...
Oh, okay. That's correct.
All right. So. Well, thanks for your time. I know you got a business to run, and the last thing you want to do is sit down and talk with Brian. No, talk with... thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
I appreciate it. Well, that was it. That was my talk with Brian Kahatsu and Tom Sims over at Stir Crazy Comedy Club. Please go down and check out that show. A lot of fun. Great little intimate club. StirCrazyComedyClub.com. Right there in Glendale at the Westgate Entertainment District where the Coyotes and the Cardinals play. And great restaurants in and around the area. So a lot of fun. There was live music out on the patios last night. I think they do that every Friday and Saturday through fall. They had a big bike show out there. They had... bikers from all over the state out there, beautiful Harleys lined up. I think I'll take my bike out there next time at the Westgate Entertainment District. They had, like I said, live music for free out there. You can stroll around. They've got one of those fountain things, water things that kids can run through and get splashed in, and it's all free. And then stop, get some food, get a drink at a restaurant. Hang out. There's some stores you can buy stuff. Go catch a movie. AMC's right there. And do all that either before or after you go to Stir Crazy Comedy Club and maybe see Brian Kahatsu on stage and probably Tom in the lobby greeting you and finding you a seat and making sure the lights work and making sure things like the sound works and all that good stuff. He is on hands. He is a very hands-on owner of Stir Crazy Comedy Club. Enjoy. And oh, use that Amazon link too. MileHighShow.com. Amazon gives us money.